Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. OkCupid, John F. Kennedy, veganism. This is not the setup to a joke. These are the subjects of advertisements rejected by the MBTA. WBUR obtained dozens of these rejected ads through a public records request, filed after the T rejected and then later accepted ads for the women's co-working space, The Wing. WBUR's Allie Jarmanning has been reporting the story. She joins us now. Allie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Also with us is Marty Donahue. He's a partner and creative director at Full Contact Advertising. Marty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Allie, let's talk about some of these ads. For example, they rejected submissions from the dating app OkCupid. What do those ads look like?
So these are a series of very colorful ads, both literally and figuratively, and they play on the phrase DTF. And for those of you who might not know what that stands for, DTF is down to have sex. And one says DTF, fall over heel, head over heels. It shows a woman holding another woman in her arms. And when you look a little closer, you see that there's maybe too many arms for two people in that image. Another says DT, feel fabulous. And it shows a person in a suit and they're tying a tie. But when you look closer, they have long, bright red nails. And so basically, OkCupid is saying, hey, use our app. We'll help you find just the right kind of romantic partner.
Now, you've been quite vivid in your description, but fill in the blanks. Why was that rejected?
So the T wouldn't say exactly why these specific ads were rejected, but they have a ton of guidelines saying what's considered suitable to display on subway cars and on station walls. And so there's a few big things they won't show. So like profanity, firearms, smoking, anything unlawful, any kind of obscenity or nudity. And my guess with these OkCupid ads is that they violated what's called the prurient sexual suggestiveness ban. And so that's specifically, the T says, any ad that describes, depicts, or represents sexual activities or aspects of the human anatomy cannot be displayed. And I should add, for these OkCupid ads, New York City Subway apparently had no issue displaying them. And some of the T's other guidelines include bans on political campaign speech, political issues, or matters of public debate. And, you know, these guidelines are fairly recent. Some listeners might remember the T voted to ban ads touching on political and social issues back in 2015 after there was an uproar over an ad about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Okay, so in addition to the sexual content, you mentioned that the T wants to stay away from political speech, political messaging. Did you find examples of ads that were rejected for that reason?
Yeah, and some of them were more overt than others. So in one, conservative group Turning Point USA wanted an ad that said socialism sucks in the style of Bernie Sanders campaign posters. But then there was ones that were much less obvious to me. The nonprofit Mass Poetry, they submitted six pieces of art. And their art that's called blackout poetry. These artists take famous documents like Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail or Malala Yousafzai's speech to the UN, and then they block out certain words to create a new statement. And the T turned down all six. They told Mass Poetry they were essentially too political, and that they don't allow ads that touch on matters of, quote, public debate about economic, political, moral, religious, or social issues. And I spoke to Mass Poetry's director, Daniel Johnson, and he was really surprised that the poems were rejected outright, especially the one with Malala's speech to the UN.
I mean, it's really lyrical and kind of elliptical, and I have no idea why that would be deemed like offensive or, you know, something that like a T writer would be, I don't know, would take issue with.
So basically, he just didn't think these poems should be rejected as political.
This makes me remember another instance of rejected T ads. The T removed some Legal Seafoods fresh fish campaign ads that were pretty insulting. They hurled insults at all kinds of people. You know, T conductor is a halibut, and one said, bite me. Did you run across any of the just good old-fashioned offensive?
Yeah, so kind of. The T does have pretty broad restrictions on materials that they call demeaning or disparaging to an individual or group. So a more recent example of this demeaning or disparaging ban involves the New York Times bestselling book White Fragility. It's a book that explores why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. And the T, well, they thought it might offend white people. So here's Helen Atwan. She's director of the Beaked Press, which published White Fragility.
The idea that the title itself is somehow offensive or inappropriate, it's ludicrous. It's really an outrageous instance of censorship. That should never have been allowed to stand.
And I also spoke to the author, Robin DiAngelo, who she just noted the irony of it all.
I had to laugh because that's such a perfect example of white fragility, right? Don't say white. Don't proceed as if you could know anything about me just because I'm white. It really illustrates the very point that I'm making, right? White fragility shuts down a discussion of white fragility.
Further irony, because of Robin DiAngelo's work, the term white fragility was actually added to the dictionary.
Okay, so I want to get to our other guest, Allie, but before I do, just very quickly, can you give me one example of an ad that maybe stuck out because you couldn't quite figure out why it was banned?
Yeah, there's a couple. One is the ads about veganism that you mentioned that I had no idea why those were rejected. And there was this one from the JFK Library displaying a fake tweet from JFK pulling his real words from a speech. And so I guess the T thought that was too much of a subtweet of our current president.
Okay, and in a word, what do you think the T's so worried about?
Controversy, honestly, and that they don't want to be associated with anything controversial. And so they want the revenue that the ads bring, but they don't want some advertiser's viewpoint to be considered the T's viewpoint.
All right, let's bring Marty Donahue into the conversation. Marty's a partner and creative director at Full Contact Advertising. Marty, you've been working in this industry for about 30 years in this city. Does this story surprise you?
The level of subjectivity surprises me. The fact that the MBTA is really, they do have a responsibility, and we've run into that in the past. We certainly are familiar with what Legal Seafood went through a few years ago. I think the big issue is that, you know, yes, there's responsibility, but once you layer in subjectivity, how far can MBTA go based on it is our opinion that this is offensive, it is our opinion that this is a politically charged ad, this is our opinion that this is offensive in some way to people. So I agree that they need to be responsible because it isn't a public place. Everyone can see this. It's not like it would be different if the MBTA had, you know, after 10 p.m., the digital ads took over and you could do a thing like OKCupid in there that is racier, that is more suggestive. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone and their mother and their child can see it, you have to be responsible. So it's sort of like network television versus cable, you know. MBTA is network television. Everybody sees it. However, our job in the advertising industry is to provoke, is to challenge, is to get attention for the brands we work on. So it is a dicey thing. And in some ways, MBTA is acting like the client for the rest of the people who are on the tee.
All right. So, Marty, you work nationally. And, you know, Allie made the point that the OKCupid ads are appearing in other cities. So what's different here in Boston? I get your network analogy. It's helpful. But clearly network TV is running on the trains in New York.
It could be the New York mentality versus the Boston mentality. We are a little more parochial. We always have been. And New York is New York. Anything goes in New York, usually. And Boston, I think we are a little more prurient. You know, we are a little bit more maintaining a certain status quo. That said, subjectively, I wouldn't have even brought DTF to a client.
Oh, interesting. Why?
Because of the F. Because to me, it's a cheap out. It's like there's 1,000 ways to provoke. I think Legal Seafood did a much better job of provoking in an offensive way, using humor, because they were creative about it, whereas DTF is just like, what's going to shock people that, you know, it's too black and white to me. It is. It's a cheap thrill.
So that's interesting, because one of the things I wanted to ask you was, as an agency, how do you keep the barriers in mind between pushing the envelope and, you know, sort of being able to advertise for your client on all the channels you might want to?
It's a great question. I think it really comes down to what is the desired outcome? You know, in our case, you know, we have a lot of clients that have mass appeal. You know, we don't have very much who are in this, you know, we don't have any dating site clients, but I would imagine if we did, we would want to push the envelope without going completely over to the fact that we're going to be, you know, ticking people off and offending people.
So what about the White Fragility book? Were you surprised that a national bestseller with a term that is now in the dictionary is deemed inappropriate for, I mean, it's an educational book.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that one. I was also surprised by the Wing. You know, I thought the Wing was, and it sounds like they rethought it.
Did they, Allie? Did they rethink it?
Yeah, so they ended up getting those accepted. I'm not sure what the actual terms that they ended up putting on, but the original ad that was deemed demeaning to men was, the world is made for men, the Wing is made for you.
Right. And I think that there's one where you have to have somewhat of a sense of humor. You have to be able to look beyond what they were trying to say. You know, they don't mean it, like, they don't mean it to be offensive. Whereas in some cases, it's like, it's clearly, I'm going to offend you, I'm going to insult you. I think in that case, there is a gray area. Now, it comes back to your question. Where is the MBTA's role in being sort of the gatekeeper of our morality and what's decent and what's not decent? Like, that's a big challenge for them.
So is there any censorship going on here?
Somewhat. The one that surprised me was the revision, was the poetry.
The poems, yeah.
That to me was like, wait a second. It, you know, politically, the only thing that makes any sense there is, yes, these were statements or documents or speeches made by people. It's what they did. They turned it into a work of art. It wasn't meant to be a political statement, and I think that was a big miss by the MBTA. They turned it into something it didn't need to be. Whether the author or the publisher, I think they're right in saying this goes over the line.
Allie, describe one of those ads in a little more detail.
Yeah, so they would take kind of like an image of, say, here's one of the ones that kind of is the most to the right, I guess you would say, in terms of outside the bounds. It was, I think, Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, and the artist blacked out certain words to create a new poem based on Martin Luther King Jr.'s words. And then over the blacked out words, there was the very symbolic fist in the air. And so
the black power.
Yeah,
fist.
Exactly. And so that's one that that Daniel Johnson said, you know, I can kind of understand that one. But the one that he mentioned, Into the Light, I mean, that one just was so kind of, I can, if you give it to me, mm-hmm. I can read it. It just says, "We the light, we saw mist and power the day we asked by answering." And that's based off of Malala's speech to the UN. So that one was really hard for him to understand, like, okay, well, where does this cross the line into something political or, you know, emotionally charged?
Okay, Allie, last question to you. Are you going to keep tracking what the T rejects in the future? Are you going to stay on this?
Yeah, so, you know, this came from just a very regular public records request. And, you know, while rejected ads might not seem like the biggest scandal in the MBTA right now, I do think it really opens a glimpse into how the T makes decisions, how they decide what we can see or not see on our commutes.
And Marty, what is the next frontier we're going to see in pushing the bounds in advertising? What's next?
I think what we're going to see is, so we're obviously in a very highly sensitive time in our culture, in our time. So everybody is overly sensitive to every message out there from every side and every corner. So I think someone is going to start pushing back and saying, you know what, let's see what we can get. Let's go back to an area where we can be less politically sensitive, because everything's become very pablum right now. Everything's become very vanilla. Some of these examples push the line the other way, and I think there's fear. It's like marketers are afraid to offend. However, a smart marketer will say, no one else is doing this. If I do it, I'm going to be different from my competitors. So someone's going to come up with a smarter way of doing this. I think the legal seafood, the fallout that they got is exactly what they wanted, mm-hmm. in many ways. They got more free press, more free media from the banning of those messages than anything else.
All right. Marty Donahue, partner and creative director at Full Contact Advertising, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And Allie Jarmanning, WBUR digital producer, thanks for joining us in studio.
Thank you.